Welcome to the Heal Ministry Podcast, where we believe that God heals us in the way that brings Him the most glory and draws us closest to Him. Whether you've received healing, you're in the fight of your life, or you gave up on God a long time ago, you are welcome here. As you come to the table, listen with an open mind, knowing everyone's journey is unique and God's goodness truly can be found amidst our physical suffering. Welcome back to the Heal Ministry Podcast. My name is Tara Bradham Denai. I am your host, and I am bringing you today the second part of my interview with Tammy Comer. So if you haven't yet, please go back to the episode right before this one. Listen to the first part because that is so, so beautiful what Tammy shares there. Then come back and listen to this one where Tammy shares how God radically healed her. This is an exciting testimony, you guys, but I do want to preface it with a statement that I know a lot of you guys have come to trust me over a lot of times and a lot of interviews, and please know that I do not take that for granted. So I want to tell you up front that this episode has some stuff in it that some people might deem controversial. It is something that I had never considered before I heard Tammy's story originally. It's something that prompted a 6-month deep dive into this theologically because I didn't have a box for it. You'll hear Tammy say that she did not have a theological box for this either, but I do believe that this is a testimony worth sharing from a trustworthy sister in Christ. And so what that means is if you feel hesitancy right now, please stop, pray about it. I encourage you to keep listening with an open mind. If you end up disagreeing with Tammy's story or conclusions that I've come to, that's okay. We're all in the body of Christ, but this testimony does deal with the demonic, and it deals with the demonic affecting a believer's body. So please know that going forward. If that is a trigger for you, please don't feel like you need to listen. But otherwise, I just wanted you to know that so you have a heads up. And I really encourage you to listen to everything we have to say. I know this is opening up a can of worms for some people because it was for me. So I want to share that with you. But hopefully we gave you a few paths forward without exaggerating this story either way, in a way that will honor God and honor this testimony and honor as well what He is doing in your lives listening today. So I hope that gives you the grace needed to take this episode to the Lord and see what He has to say about it. So without further explanation, I want to share with you part 2 of this incredible story with Tammy Comer. So I'm going to have to re-listen to this and take a bunch of notes as God wrecks me with all the things you're saying. So we'll just leave that there. But we keep alluding to the healing because everything that you're saying, I'm like, yes, 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 and amen on suffering becoming and God using it and not wasting it when we give it to Him. And yet at the same time, we do know there will be no more tears and no more crying and no more mourning in Revelation. We know that that is the kingdom to come. So there is, I believe, a physical healing coming. And
absolutely.
Yet, we also have those little breakthroughs of heaven here and now. And He's also not like, just because suffering is the currency of the kingdom, which I love that you said that. That's amazing. That doesn't mean that God wants you to suffer either, right? And so He did heal you, which might not be the story for everyone, but it is for you.
Sure.
So just tell us briefly a little bit, how did that happen?
Yeah. Okay. So my story is really bizarre. I didn't even have a category for this. So I was going to the grocery store one day and I got a call from a family member who obviously knew about my health stuff. And they said, "Hey, I just heard the craziest thing and it like involves and affects you." And I was like, "Oh, huh." And it was actually my brother who had called me. And so he had apparently been doing research on our family line. Like our lineage, like my dad is from Mexico City, my mom is Italian. So he had been sitting with my aunt who's older and was just telling family stories and he was just recording them. And in that conversation, there was a story that came up about a family generational curse. This was a story, I can just tell it to you as it came to us through my brother. This is the story that my aunt told him. So my great-grandmother lived in Mexico City, and She had apparently like fallen in love with a Cuban diplomat, and they lived together and had 8 children together, but they were never married. And apparently they had had a bunch of sickness, and they had, like, I think one of their kids may have died. So my great grandmother went to a fortune teller, actually, or a psychic, and said, "Tell me why we're sick and dying." And this grandmother, great grandmother of mine, she was into tarot cards and palm reading even when I was a kid. I had met her. I mean, I knew her, but she only spoke Spanish. But I just remember, like, the primary thing I remember about her is that she would squeeze my cheeks really, really hard and talk in Spanish. But so she was did tarot cards and palm reading and kind of that kind of stuff. But she, as a kid, so this wasn't surprising in the story when I heard that she went to a fortune teller. So, but what was surprising was this part. And she, apparently, the fortune teller or psychic told my great grandmother, "It's because there's sickness and death in your home because there's a curse that's been placed on you and your bloodline, and it's from the man you live with's wife." And up until this time, she had no idea he was married. And he had apparently been married in Cuba and had placed his wife in a mental institution and left her there. And she had either like herself or like hired a witch or shaman of some kind to place a blood curse, I guess, on my great grandmother. And the fortune teller, psychic lady, actually said, "And the curse is this, that the firstborn girl down through your bloodline in every family will be cursed with terrible illness or early death." Now, when my brother told me this, I was like, that is the weirdest, bizarre thing ever. I don't even have a category for that. Like, we don't, I've never even heard of such a thing. But what was really weird was that probably 3 years previously, when I was really sick, it was in a season of doing a lot of the testing. My health was really bad. We had some of our friends and mentors come and visit us, and they were from South Africa. And I remember the husband saying to me, "Tammy, do you know of any generational curses on your family?" And I remember John Mark saying, "Well, I have a theological category for generational curses because it's in the scripture, but not like a practical one. I don't even know what that would look like." And I told him, "I don't think so. I mean, I've never even heard of such a thing." But I did have a great grandmother, this great grandmother, who did tarot cards and palm reading. But other than that, I don't really know of any like weird kind of curses or things like that that I know of. So we just kind of like held that, like we didn't know what to even think of it. I don't even know, you know. And it was weird because like him saying that was like we were like, well, how do you even check for that? Like 23andMe, like. I mean, there's just not like a category. You don't test for that, you know? So then, but around the same time, we'd also been doing this book by Pete Scazzaro called Emotionally Healthy Spirituality. And in it, they have you do a genogram, which is like a family tree with all your health. Like, it's like health, adultery, like all your family patterns. And you end up seeing like patterns of in your family to kind of understand where you came from. And to try and, you know, break any pattern as you can, but also whatever. So when I made my family tree, I told my husband, "Gosh," and our community group actually, "Gosh, this is crazy. Look at how much death and sickness is in the women on my dad's side of the family." But what was crazy was it wasn't every single woman, and it wasn't the same disease. It wasn't like the same issues. But at the time, we couldn't figure out like what a pattern was. In hindsight, when my brother told me this, we went back and looked, and it was the firstborn girl in every family. It was 4 generations strong, and it never skipped 1 generation. So like if you looked, my great grandmother's firstborn daughter was my grandmother who died in her 60s and was sick at least 10 years, probably more like 20. Her firstborn daughter is the sickest woman I've ever met. She's had more surgeries than anyone I've ever met, and she's crippled. Her firstborn daughter died in a car accident at 16. My brother's firstborn daughter was severely handicapped and died at 8. I'm the firstborn daughter of my dad and had chronic illness since I was 23, really, since the birth of my first son. And then there was one cousin that it hadn't hit who was a few years younger than me. And when we actually went to go break off this curse, I got a phone call from a family member saying that that particular cousin had just been diagnosed with stage 3 or 4 throat cancer. So, like, it was literally like the day before we left. So it was just wild because I didn't know what to do. I didn't have a category for this. You know, we're not in veins of the church that even talk about this. So we ended up, I was telling my husband, and he's like, "This is crazy." And I'm like, "What do we do?" So we said, "Let's call the theology professor that we trust. He's in his 70s. He's like the most non-weird. He's very like, he's a theology professor, you know, at a seminary. So, really well respected." And I just called him and just said, "Hey, his name's Gary." I was like, "Gary, is this even a real thing? I feel like I'm a Disney princess. What do you even do if you have a curse on you like this?" And he's like, "It's real and you need to break it." So I said, "Okay, like, what do we do?" So he connected us with a man who was older and had retired out of doing like deliverance and exorcism, kind of in that vein of ministry. And he connected us with him. He was really well respected and godly man, but he was retired from that. So he came and out and met with us, and in preparation, we fasted and prayed for 2 days and got our families to do that with us and also our community. And we just went into it to break this curse off. I never, and the reality is that we totally believe that God can heal people. I just never had a category for having anything dark or demonic, like a curse being able to affect me, because I was a Christian who was like really like walking with Jesus for like my whole life since I was a little kid. So
You didn't have like these hidden sins that people say and talk
no,
about and all that stuff.
and I was like a virgin when I got married. I was like a fully like walking with Jesus and like had a vibrant walk with Jesus my whole like I was like such a good girl, and you know, like the epitome of like a good girl. Like, it wasn't like I was like doing crack and like having affairs, and like there was just no big, I just didn't have a category for it. So, but that whole week leading up to our prayer time, I just kept feeling like the Spirit was saying to my, I kept hearing that it was like the sensing the same phrase of like, you have to be holy. And in hindsight, I didn't really, because I didn't really know what God was trying to say to me except like to be right with Him. So I like was trying to, as much as I could, just set myself apart for Him, but like stop watching TV that week and like just, you know, trying to be really like extra diligent. In hindsight, like even researching and understanding holiness, my favorite definition of holiness is to be fully dedicated. And I just felt like, I feel like in hindsight, that's totally what you're saying. Like, dedicate yourself fully to me and trust me as you move into this. So we ended up going, we met with this man. When they called me into the room, it was my brother was there. He came, and so did my, and my husband was there, and then this man. And again, this man was like a godly man. He'd been a missionary and done a bunch of really cool things ministry wise and was well respected by somebody we respected. So he just called, they called me into the room, and as I was walking into the room, my face began to spasm and contort more severely than it ever had. I mean, it was the most severe spasms I'd ever had before. By the time I actually walked through the doorway, it was like a whole level to where my eye, one of my eyes was having a hard time opening. And my brother and my husband were both like, "Oh my gosh, what's going on here?" And I just said, "I don't know, but let's pray." So then this man had me sit down. He just said, "Is there any sin you want to confess?" And so I was like, I think to the best of my ability, I've been like praying and I feel like I'm right with God. He's like, "Okay." So then he led us in a prayer, and it sounded very legal, actually. It was like legally, it felt like almost like a legal contract that was being broken. And he just said, like, I called to attention this spirit that was called upon by this man's wife and placed a curse on. And then he went through each of my family members that, you know, killed this person, crippled this person, took the life of this person, and has landed on Tammy, made a Lourdes Comer. That was like, you know, use my full name. And then he just said, And by the blood of Jesus and in his name and authority, we break this curse. And my face was literally going nuts. And then he had me repeat it. So then it was going nuts. He says this, then I say it. And when I said it, my whole face went immediately. Like I just, when I said, and by the, blood of Jesus and in his name we break this curse, my face went completely still. And it felt like something, I know it sounds bizarre, but it was bizarre. It felt like something in my head, almost like I was like had like a super tight beanie on or something was pulled off my head, like having a really tight beanie pulled off the back of my head, and I could think super clearly. I could, and I didn't even know I was having like a foggy mind day that day. And that was October 14th of 2020, and I opened my eyes, like John Mark was like, oh my gosh, what just happened? I'm like, I don't know. But that was October 14th of 2020. And since that day, I've been radically healed. No more neurological symptoms. My brain has been totally well. And it was almost like in that moment, God healed me through delivering me from a demonic curse I didn't even know existed, but was apparently like the root of my issues. And there was immediate healing of like my neurological symptoms ceased immediately. But also, I would say over the next year and a half, really, I saw that there was almost like this domino effect of progressive healing as well, of these layers that God didn't just want me freed of the curse, He wanted me restored and healed in these like layers as I was like asking Him and trusting Him. I was like just deep diving into like, Lord, what the heck happened to me? And what is going on here? But as I was moving in trust, it was like it was affecting my body was getting stronger. All of a sudden, like all my normal ways of caring for myself actually were, I couldn't believe it was like my body was just totally responding different. But then it was having emotional implications on like healing in my marriage, healing in my relationships to my kids, healing in my ability to think and learning that I could read and actually maintain stuff. So I was like exercising my brain, like learning my limb, like it was like developing these layers of wholeness that just had atrophied over so many years. And that I would say the mantra of my life since that day has been thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Let me be like the leper who is cleansed on his way to healing and turn with the other 10 or 9 or whatever and turns around and runs back and says, thank you. I just feel like I learned to trust God in my sickness and I learned about extravagant, generous, unexpected kindness of God in my healing. Same God, just profoundly shaped through sickness and profoundly grateful through freedom and healing. So, yeah, so that's my story. And we never prayed or asked for me to be healed in the process of breaking that curse. It just was the natural byproduct of breaking it, which was just wild because I had been prayed for by so many people for so many years that God would heal me. And I never was healed. But then there was a demonic thing that I just was unaware of, and the demonic was had a like legal hold somehow on through this curse, through a generational curse in my family. And once it was broken by the blood of Jesus, it couldn't stay anymore. So that was just wild. I just didn't even know it was a thing. So Jesus is so kind.
Well, I didn't know it was a thing either until you guys shared your story, which, by the way, I thought you were very wise. And it's not like you just came out with it right away either. You waited a bit to make sure to test it and see, which also is good. But I mean, first off, praise God. Like, and this is thank
Seriously.
you so much for sharing your story. And you and I talk about like God is so nuanced in his healing. And this is just one example of a way that he heals. And so praise God. When I'm listening and when I heard your story, I went through my own huge deep dive into this. I was like, I had no reference point for a believer's body being affected by the demonic or anything else. And so I feel like people listening might be in a couple categories. They might be kind of like I was, like, I've never heard of this, kind of like you were.
Yeah,
like,
totally.
Just no reference point for it. Okay, I don't know what to do with this. I would suggest getting some mentors and doing some deep dive into scripture and see, because I mean, it is the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony that we overcome the enemy. And I think respected believers' testimonies are important.
Totally.
So search scripture. But also in that, I think there are probably some other people who are like, oh man, like, what if this is me? You know, like, most people listening have something going on with their bodies and they're like, wow, I would love a radical deliverance experience like that. And I think C.S. Lewis says that we can get in to bad issues when he calls them the devils, where we either completely deny that they exist or we become obsessed with
totally.
Them. Right. And so people hearing your story, where I don't want to leave this interview is just this nebulous, like, okay, we opened up a can of worms, like, go for it.
Yeah.
You know, so someone listening, I also would not want them to just leave here and be like, I think everything in my life is demonic. Like,
oh, totally.
You know, and so we're not going to go to one extreme or the other. We're going to affirm your testimony as our sister in Christ who is respected, right? And again, I've gone through the journey personally of theologically and scripturally what that looks like. But from you, like, leaving people today, like, wherever they are, you know, what would you say to someone who's like, maybe this is me, I'm freaking out, like, where do I go from here?
I would say a couple things. One is, I would say I went on a deep dive trying to understand how that could even be so, as far as a Christian being demonized, not owned by the demonic, but having a demonic element and it, like, affecting their life substantially, like it was in mine. A good book that could be helpful for people to read if they're curious about that is called Deliverance by John Thompson. He leads a church and a deliverance ministry in Canada. And he has a lot of good theology that'll help walk you through it. It's thoughtful. And even though I don't agree with all of his theology on every single thing he teaches, his stuff on deliverance is very good. There is so much biblical precedence, because I also, it's called theology professor, was trying to understand this stuff theologically, of where there is evil in the temple, like, so, like, the temple of Christ, which is our body, but also in the Old Testament, we are, because we're the temple of God now, in our bodies we carry the Spirit of God, but how there was also, there has been syncretism of, like, evil coexisting in places that are supposed to be holy, where the call of God is to, like, cleanse our temple. Essentially, to, like, you read that in the book of Kings a lot, where a new king will come into power, and then what does he do? He cleanses the land. He tears down the high places. He cleanses out the temple. Like, there's these understandings of, like, it's our job to, like, cultivate holiness and a clean space for the Spirit of God to dwell, but that we live in contested space. Sometimes people will say, you know, yeah, but darkness and light can't dwell together, or, like, the Holy Spirit can't be in the same presence as the demonic. But that's not remotely, like, biblically, if you read, you know, the story, like, Satan walks right into the throne room of God and talks to him about Job. I mean, Satan approaches Jesus himself in the wilderness and tempts him. He has agency. Like, there's the scriptures, so many scriptures about resist the devil and he will flee from you. Like, it is presupposed that Christians would have encounters with dark things and that we are to resist them. But then there's also, you know, that whole section around don't let the sun go down on your anger, and it talks about bitterness and letting a root of bitterness grow up because you give the devil a foothold. And then it talks about not grieving the Holy Spirit. And I think that a lot of the time when it's, like, blatant sins or something, you know, that somebody has in their life that they've not, that they're, like, you know, continually in, they're continually grieving the Holy Spirit by not maybe not honoring God with their whole selves. But with the generational thing, there's just a lot of, I mean, this is, like, a long way of saying, but, like, God is not afraid of the dark like we are. So that's why I like that scripture that I said earlier, because I think we suppose that, like, well, darkness and light can't be together. Well, in context, God comes into the darkness and darkness becomes light, but he also is the God who walks us through the valley of the shadow of death. The best way I can describe it that I feel like has been, it's sort of like, it's not like you're possessed, like you're not owned if you have something demonic that is tormenting you or making you sick or have a generational thing. Like you can be owned by God, almost like your body is like a house, like we give ownership to God, but you can still have like squatters or like rats in the attic that like chew on these wires. They're not supposed to be there, but it's like the creatures that aren't supposed to be there need to be cleaned out in order for the house's electrical system and lights to work right. Otherwise, there's glitches in there. Or a squatter, even though it doesn't own the house, actually can do quite a bit of damage by living in it. So, in that sense of like, we give God the keys to our whole person, but he has given us agency by his blood and by our will to choose to go through essentially with a flashlight and say, Lord, expose to us anything that inhibits the fullness of light in this house. Because how many of us have places of unforgiveness we harbor toward an abuser or toward someone who deeply wronged us, or the grief against God for like why we don't live the life that we thought we were deserved, or there's these secret little dark places in our person sometimes that I wonder if the invitation of God is to come in with a flashlight and just say, Lord, I'm opening this up to you. Will you bring light and free me from anything that blocks my ability to hear from you? And in that process, God's so faithful. Like, I don't think we have to be afraid. We don't have to be afraid of the dark anymore because he's given us the tools to walk in there. And so, I mean, I've just studied a lot of different veins of the church, basically like Catholicism, charismatic, and Pentecostal culture, and then also the early historical church, and have found that there's a lot of the same kind of practices or disciplines or like things that they would do around deliverance or exorcism, depending on the tradition you're part of, and generational curses and breaking those kind of things off. And the primary tools that are used are always repentance, like confession of sin and repenting for the parts and the places that we have done wrong before God. Also, forgiveness work around like releasing to God our offenders, the people we hold things against, including even like forgiving ourselves, and but because Jesus' blood is enough to do that, like his blood is enough to cleanse humanity and to break every curse. It says that Jesus became a curse on the tree, like when he died, like that the scripture says that Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. So there's these like applying this to reality can be like confession, forgiveness, fasting can be a great tool for to cultivate holiness, and then asking. So like if somebody thinks that they have something like this, I would say read John Thompson's book. It'll give you a theological understanding if you're confused about that. Jesus heals many people in the temple on Sabbath who are Jewish, which meant that in Jewish, like in that day, they would have been right with God. So it's not like only bad people are demonized, and demonized doesn't mean possessed by demons. It can just mean oppressed or like inhibited by. And I would just say, in community, as much as depends on you, do all the tools you can to become as right before God as possible. And just say, Lord, if there's anything that is blocking the fullness of what you have for me, or any generational curses or anything like that, will you bring them to the light? Ask him if there's anything blocking me that's being used by evil to keep me sicker or is increasing my sickness. I am asking you to expose it and just please like free me from it. And then appeal to him and would you heal me or bring more healing to me? And invite his spirit to come in to any place that has been blocked. And I just think Even if you don't have some crazy generational curse or a bunch of demonic oppression that's responsible for these things, doing all that work will result in some healing. Because any time that we move closer to God in a right relationship with Him and invite His Spirit to come in any places that were blocked by our flesh, by our life, or our grief, or our traumas, all of those things. Anytime we invite him to come, his spirit always brings with it healing and love. Like, so it's not going to be something you regret doing. And I definitely don't think there's like a demon around every bush, but I do think that the scripture all over warns us that we have a very real enemy who wants to steal, kill, and destroy our lives, and that God has made a way for us to live free, but that we are supposed to resist him, which does resist the devil and he will flee from you. Like that does mean there's an intention to wrestle with him so that he doesn't win, and we don't really want to lose to him.
For sure. Thank you for answering that, because that was my fear, and this is I don't want to just open up this huge can of worms and leave people to fend on their own. But it's kind of like all these other practices you have in your life. Like, hopefully you're involved in a church. Hopefully you have pastors and people you can bring this to. Hopefully you are involved in community. So if you're not in those things, like, get in those things and then.
And all the things I just said, you like the place to do them is not by yourself, just to be really straight up. Do those in close community under the covering of your leadership. Our pastors knew, like we were the pastors, but our elders knew. Do that in community. And this is, I think this is was key. I just want to make sure I say this because this is important. Sometimes people think that in order to break something demonic that's been over them, they need someone else to do it for them. Like, oh, I need to connect with that guy who helped lead that generational curse. But it wasn't breaking or whatever. It wasn't when he said it, when he broke, when it wasn't his words that broke that curse over me. It was when I said it and I repeated after him. That is when the thing actually was broken and left. It was when I consecrated my body to God and asked God to break by the power and blood of Jesus any demonic curse over me, this particular one, that God in his mercy honored it and freed me from it. So yes, he helped me facilitate it. And if you come upon a spot where you find that, it's tricky and you feel confused and it's, or something weird happens or something in your community group, then go to the church leaders and get more support and then do it as a group. But I think sometimes we feel like our hands are tied unless we get to the right people. And I think that God has given us more agency to choose what we give over our own person just through some of the tools of the scripture that he advocates for himself. Like just confess your sins one to another that you might be healed. Isn't that interesting? I never realized that that was like so that like you confess your sins so that you might be healed. I cannot tell you how many people I've prayed for that have chronic pain, specifically in their lower back, who will often have really potent unforgiveness and bitterness about somebody with someone. And during prayer, as we're praying about it, they are such so flared with like chronic pain, but in their saying to God, I'm releasing this person to you in forgiveness. I choose to release them to you. You judge them. I need to get this out of my inner person and into the light. I cannot hold anymore. Please, would you replace that with your love and your peace? And I'll let you be the judge of this injustice. In that releasing, by the end of the prayer, they're free to their, like, there's a pain that has dissipated and the pain goes away. And sometimes I wonder if some of chronic illness is a lack of letting God into those painful places that we harbor poison. And that if we would invite him to just like touch on those things, if there would be some physical relief that are unexpected because he's just waiting to be invited.
It's yes and, I think, right? Because it's like
Oh, totally.
most of the time, I
Yes.
think, at least in my experience, you've been hurt by people saying, oh, well, this is a sin issue in your life. So it's like, no, it's 100% medical. That's all that it is, you know? And it's like, okay, this might be medical and there might be something emotional. There could be something related to the demonic. You don't know, but it's like, I think that's why I just love what you said with the prayer of just inviting God in and saying, hey, reveal this to me. If there's some, reveal whatever it is, whatever
Totally.
kind of healing you have, because He is our healer and He wants to heal in that way. And so we're not telling you this is exactly what's like, that's the thing
Totally.
is, and that's our control, right? Is you want Tammy and me probably to tell you, yeah, this is what's going on in your life. And we have no idea, but God does, right?
Totally.
So it's about the
Yeah,
relationship with
totally. And
Him.
we don't get to choose.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we don't get to choose. I mean, but I just think it's always good to just do those things and to invite him and just to see what he'll do. But we don't get to control that, obviously. But I do think that there's sometimes physical illness that's influenced, like empowered, maybe almost like made worse by demonic stuff. And that even when it goes, even though this chronic illness is there still, totally, it just doesn't have the same dark overtone that it had quite before, or something, you know, where it's almost like made worse. I was really bit by a tick and had Lyme disease. So like, I don't understand how it all works, but I also was sick for 15 years. So it's like sometimes people think, oh, you got had it. You're so, you know, I am so grateful and so lucky that God, and not lucky, but like blessed that God exposed and then freed me from this, so blessed. I don't know that it would have been as dramatically impacting on my life had I had broken it off when I was 24 after only having some chronic illness for a year. I don't know that it would have formed me in the same way. I definitely don't think it would have. Now, that doesn't mean I would never wish somebody 15 years of sickness, but I trust that I'm profoundly more like Jesus through my suffering now than I would be had I never gone down that road. So I don't know. I just think both are of value. I actually think healing can come in lots of different ways. But I do think God is present to all those things. And the goal is always Jesus, not demons. Like the Jesus, you know, generational curses.
Or
Like,
physical healing.
yeah, I
It's
mean,
Jesus, not the end goal.
yeah, and Jesus by his very nature is the healing presence. Like his love is restorative. He is love. So, yeah. I mean, so much I don't understand, but I'm just so grateful to follow him. He's worthy of our trust, even when we don't understand. So that's my story.
Well, I hope what people hear is obviously I had you on because I believe your testimony is valid and helpful for us in the body. And other people's story might not be, it's holding yes and both and on all of this. So in all of that, is there something that we have not covered that God's putting on your heart? We've covered an awful lot, and yet I still feel like I could talk to you for 10 more hours and not get to it all. But what would you want to leave people with today?
I think I would just say that if you're sick and in pain, your life matters and God loves you. He doesn't love you more if you're healed than if you are sick. And that God is the God who meets us right where we are. And I just would say the scripture that comes to mind is hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. I hope that my story is a reminder, maybe, that the God of the Gospels, the Jesus that we read about, is still the God we serve today. I think Isaiah 61, where he rebuilds the ruins, frees the captives, and rebuilds. I mean, it's just this idea of beauty for ashes. That is the God that you serve if you follow Jesus. And that doesn't mean that we don't have devastated spaces or seasons, but it's just may God in his kindness meet you and give you strength to look to him in the process. I definitely don't know. There's so much I don't understand and so much mystery in our lives, I guess, and just understanding life. But God is kind and he loves you and he wants to be involved in your story and your life and more healing, regardless of what exactly that looks like in your soul and person, is possible through Jesus, even if it doesn't manifest in the way that you wish it did. That I am convinced of that God is always healing. There's more areas of my own life, God is still healing. There's areas of my husband, God is healing. And it just doesn't look like, it doesn't always look like how we think it will. But that's what he is. It's what he's like. He came that we would have life. And life to the full. And that I think is a process of discovering what that actual life looks like. I'm not there yet, but man, I want to trust him on the journey and I love him. And there is a great book for anybody who's like, I don't know, I never used to read these book this kind of a book because it's so not the typical kind of book because it's allegorical, but it's called Hinds Feet for High Places. I don't know if you've ever read it, but
I read it in high school, so I'm gonna need to reread it, I think.
yeah, totally. I mean, I was shocked by it because I usually avoid books that are really like allegorical or like more emotional, but it's an older book and written by, I think she was like a missionary or something. But I was profoundly moved by it. It felt like the journey of, it was like reading my journey with God of sickness through into transformation and trust with God. And I haven't arrived yet, but just this idea of going on that journey with God. And it just felt like such a gift. So, highly encourage you to do that. And yeah, may God's peace be with you. To anybody listening, just what he said to me when I first met him in my deep disappointment, and also in the beginning of what would become the journey of my healing, but I just didn't know it yet. But just may his peace be with you. Yeah, I guess I'll just speak that scripture. My peace I leave with you, not as the world gives, do I give to you. Don't let your heart be troubled and don't be afraid. That is who God is. He is the God who is on the journey with us. So I hope that you, whoever's listening, just feel loved and seen by God and encouraged to not lose heart in the process of the messy reality of our life, this side of the age to come and the side of heaven. And may God increase your courage. And it was fun to be on here with you.
Ah, Tammy, thank you so much. I can't even tell you from our first conversation, you just kept saying the word kindness. God's so kind and he's so good. And that has truly been life-changing for me, really. So thank you for how you've been faithful and how that's been used in my life, how God is going to continue to use it. Thank you for stewarding your story. And I am so on this journey with you and have so much to learn from you and from God as he continues to refine me and both of us. So thank you, thank you, thank you to you. As you said, thank you, thank you, thank you to God for writing this story. But thank you for coming on today. We're just so grateful.
Oh, thanks. Well, it's a privilege to just chat with you and to be on here. May God do all that's in his heart for you and to your people, man. He really is so kind. He is worthy of our trust, even if we don't see it yet. So, thanks, Tara. Much love to you.
Thank you, Tammy. Pretty incredible, right? If you are feeling overwhelmed after listening to Tammy's story, that's okay. If you're feeling in awe of God, praise God. If you're not quite sure what to do with it, that's okay too. Just take this to the Lord, let it sit, see, and ask Him what He wants you to do with this testimony. Thank you so much to Tammy. I can't thank her enough for how she demonstrates God's kindness and for how she has let us into her story. Also, stay subscribed because in just a couple weeks, I'm going to release an episode with one of my favorite authors, Dr. Alicia Britt Scholey. So hang tight. We'll see you then.